I always wanted my own business, and obviously being a qualified accountant or a qualified bookkeeper, you're like, well, why can't you just do that? But before you've actually done it, I've never worked in practice. And I was like, well, how do I know how to run an accountancy practice? I think that held me back for more years than probably anything else in my life. But I think what happened was I went and just did this job for a friend of a friend, and I realized I enjoyed it. And then I did get some clients. But then I think I also just got to a point where I was just like, if I try to do it and it doesn't work, well, I just go and do something else.
You're listening to the Bookkeepers Podcast, sponsored by Xero.
I use Xero's accounting and bookkeeping software to manage my clients' accounts, and I love it. If you haven't tried it yet, head over to Xero.com with an X, and you can either start a free 30-day trial or sign up to Xero's partner program to join their amazing community of forward-thinking accountants and bookkeepers.
Hello, happy Wednesday. Welcome to Bookkeepers Bootcamp. I'm Zoe Whitman. I'm here with Jo Wood, and we're joined by Hayley Baxter, the off-grid accountant. Hey, Hayley, how are you doing?
Hello. Hello. I'm good, thanks. It's lovely to see you both.
It's always nice to chat to you. Hayley, do you know what? First time you really described to me how you really are truly the off-grid accountant blew my mind. Like, we were talking to me about your internet, and I was like, I hadn't even thought about that. So I know, like, there's so much I want to ask you, but I wonder, would you like to just start by telling people a bit about your background and what you do?
Yes, of course. Yeah, so I'm Hayley, the off-grid accountant. I worked for about 15 years in industry. Left in 2019 and set up my own practice. Initially bookkeeping, that was all we did at the very beginning, and now we've moved into offering all of the services. And everything is delivered off-grid.
Oh, okay, so, you know, I think lots of us know, you know, about how to maybe start a practice, but we can, you know, we can cover that. If anyone's got any questions, you know, this is bootcamp. Ask your questions. You know, you've got Hayley here, you can ask anything. But when you say you're off-grid, what does that mean, and how does that impact your business?
Okay, so off-grid, so we are totally off-grid, so we have no connection to the grid in terms of electricity, gas, water, telephone, internet cables. We live on top of a hill in Derbyshire, just on the outskirts of Buxton. So we have a wind turbine that supplies all of our electricity, and we've got some solar panels as well. We have a well for our water. That's just our well, for our own well. And we do have a diesel generator, a backup generator, because if we have a day, a bit like today, where it's very grey and there's not a lot of sunshine and it's not incredibly windy today, so we could run out of electricity. So that's why we need the backup generator. And the internet is a 4G SIM card like you have in a mobile phone. So it's mostly very reliable, but it can occasionally be a bit funny.
Wow. Oh my gosh, I love that. How did this come into your story? Why did you decide to be off-grid?
So my husband has always, so he works in power generation. He's always worked in power generation, electrician by trade, and then moved into lots of other different areas. But really, the truth is, we locked down, everybody considered life in lockdown. We used to live in the countryside still, but we lived on a main road. And so we decided that we wanted to be more remote and away from the main road. And we just happened to find this amazing house. It's a mile from the town, so you're not really very far from anything, but it's totally on its own. So we don't have any neighbours or anything like that. And of course, it came complete with its own diesel generator and its own engine room. So my husband was very happy and excited about that. So it just came to be that the house, we wrote a list of things we wanted, and the house that we found happened to be off-grid, basically. But it's really interesting. And I've learned so much since living here. I think you take it for granted that when you just have electricity and it's just there, and if it breaks, somebody will come and fix it for you. Whereas we've had a few moments of tales that I could tell where nobody can come and help because they don't understand it. So I'm very lucky to have a husband that does, because otherwise we would have been in a bit of a problem, really.
Oh my goodness. So it's not as if like starting your own business is hard enough. You're going to go out into the middle of nowhere where there's a bit like intermittent electricity. You need diesel generators, you need solar panels and wind. Oh my goodness, it's amazing. It sounds like there you manifested this house. Like you wrote out exactly what you were looking for and it just happened to be off grid. Do you feel like you did that?
A little bit. Sometimes I do think that. When I first came across manifestation, or somebody first told me about it, because I didn't really know about it, going back a few years, it was actually in relation to buying a house that wasn't this house. It was a different one at the time. And I was telling my friend about it and she went, well, you've just manifested that. She did exactly what you did then. And I was like, really? So maybe.
I sometimes think... like Jo was talking to me earlier actually about like experience that she'd had in a program that she's in where she'd done some work on clearing things from the past, and she said it was very woo. And I remember when I met Jo, I was like, oh, science, only science, you know. But I do really think, like, over time Jo has rubbed off on me or something, but I think it's like being open-minded to different ways of thinking about things or different ways of seeing things. Whether you call it manifestation or you call it the universe or God or whatever you want to call it, I think there is something about putting out there, this is what I want, and then you start to attract those things in. So, you know, if you decide that you decide you want a house that is a certain way, or you decide you want a business that's a certain way, or you decide you want a client that's a certain way, or you decide you want an office that's a certain way, those things start to come to you because you start to take the action. So it's like decide it. We always tell people to make a vision board, and you know, once you've done those things, you might pull the vision board out a year or two later and be like, well, I've done all that, I did it. So I decided I would.
Yes, yeah, I agree with that.
I think it is actually science, and this is something because we're all energy. Every molecule has energy, every atom is energy, and I think it's like electrical magnetic fields, and we put it out there and then it's attracted to us. And yeah, that's what I'm going with. And I believe it because I definitely think it definitely works. It definitely works. And not every single time, but does anything work? You can have all the strategies in the world. You might put out Facebook ads and it might not work. And you think, oh, why not? But it's worth giving it a go. And we last night in our exercise we did about ideal client, if anyone missed it, go back and watch it. We had so much fun. We were laughing, giggling about like creating our ideal clients. And I'm like, why do we think that business can't be funny and give us joy? Do you agree?
Yeah, I totally agree. And I always think as bookkeepers and accountants working in finance, we're always very, particularly if you've worked in corporate or an industry, it's always very serious. And my husband, he, as I say, I've spoken about him a little. I don't know why I'm talking about so much about him today, but he works in a different industry, in a different environment, and they're always having banter. They're always having, you know, a bit of fun going on. They're always a bit, you know, there's a lot of humour in it. And I don't understand why that isn't more in this world, because, you know, life's too short, really.
We were just talking about Accountex on another live with Ashley Leeds, and Accountex is an event that's in London in May, and we were talking about getting bookkeepers together, and it was really interesting actually. I just sort of reflected on how I don't know, the accounting industry is now for bookkeepers as well, and how it should have always been that way anyway, because we're all in the same industry, but now messaging has changed so that we talk about accountants and bookkeepers rather than just accountants, and we want to make bookkeepers feel welcome. But I also kind of thought, by trying to make things for bookkeepers, we were talking about bookkeepers in a whole other category, like they had some special requirements or something. And But I do also, there's also like something about community where when we get our bookkeepers together, like the six-figure bookkeepers together, there's just so much fun and people like, but accountants do that too. I don't know, we just sort of have, there's maybe an external expectation of what this industry is like. So if you're not an accountant or bookkeeper and you're watching this, we are a lot of fun to hang out with.
Definitely.
Hayley, tell us about your business now. So you started it in the late teens. Like, how is it going at the moment? What kind of clients do you work with? Is it just you in the business? I'd love to know a bit more.
Yeah, so I started the business in 2019. By accident, I didn't particularly go out with the intention of starting a business. So for quite a few years, probably until the beginning of last year, it kind of meandered along. I was quite happy. I had a small number of clients and a quite one big sort of corporate client, if you like. And I was quite happy with that. I had taken on a bookkeeper part time to work with me as well, another bookkeeper. And then at the beginning of last year, I decided some of the corporate work was coming to an end. And I sort of went on a bit of a journey about, well, what am I doing? Why am I doing it? Is it, you know, should I just go back and get a job and, you know, lean more towards the corporate clients? Or should I really try and step away from that and make it into a, I don't really like using the word proper, but that kind of, you know, a practice, if you like. So I came across Bookkeepers Bootcamp in February of last year, and I joined the Success Programme after that. I went through the Success Programme and from there, I just decided that I was really going to try and make it work for me and how I wanted it. I'm still finding out what that is. I'm not saying I've got it completely nailed, but so at the moment, I took on another accountant in September of last year. So we're a team of four. So we've got a bookkeeper, an accountant and a VA, some admin support as well, who I also took on at the end of last year. And our client bases, we work with a mixture of sole traders and limited companies, and we provide the whole end-to-end package, so bookkeeping, accounts, tax, payroll and advisory services. I am on a little bit of a growth journey at the moment, so I spent a lot of last year trying to get my back office in order and implementing processes and systems, getting a team in place. Because of my corporate client commitments, I was a little bit where I couldn't take on any more clients because I couldn't physically do any more work, so hence why I took on another accountant. So it's going really well. I really made a push at the end of last year, and the start of this year has gone really well. We've taken on a lot of new business and there's lots of discovery calls still in the diary over the next coming weeks, so it's all very, very exciting.
Oh, Hayley, I'm loving this, loving watching your journey. So you're off grid. How are you finding clients? What is the thing that, you know, you had some corporate clients to begin with, and they've, you know, fizzled out and you're building up your practice. Where do you find them? Do you, you know, because you are off grid, does that change how you do things?
So I find them through a mixture of places. The biggest place I've found is networking. That's worked amazingly well for me. And for anybody that's trying to grow a business that doesn't network, I really do recommend that, because for my business, definitely, it's made such a big difference. I advertise on social media, and I am beginning to embrace LinkedIn over the past couple of months as well. So I haven't had any direct clients from LinkedIn yet, but I feel really confident that I'll change over the next few months as I go on that LinkedIn journey. In terms of being off grid, I don't think it really changes. It doesn't impact on the delivery or anything like that, but people are really fascinated by it. And I think I need to embrace that a little bit more and lean into it a little bit more. So I'm finding my way with that. So watch this space.
Yeah, I was thinking exactly the same. I knew you as the off-grid accountant, but I didn't understand what that meant as such. I thought, yes, you're going to be remote, but I didn't really take into it like what off, you know, when people say off grid, mm-hmm. you think just really off the beaten track. I didn't really think you were off the actual grid. Like, do you mean? I know that sounds ridiculous, but I didn't think of it like that. So it's one of those threads to your marketing that you should be talking about, because people are going to be attracted to that. That story, it makes you different. It's your USP. And I love the fact that you're not making any excuses, even though you are off grid, you're still networking and things. And actually, I just want to say that, like, in our six-figure bookkeepers club, I know, Hayley, you've really embraced with working with other bookkeepers and accountants to lift you up. And I think sometimes people underestimate the power of networking with other bookkeepers and accountants. So yes, you need to network, of course, with business owners, but actually the benefit we get from our peers is amazing. And so we've got something in our community called Meow. It's an online networking and community, and you get put into a room of four people, and business owners can turn up. So you might be with bookkeepers, you might be with business owners, you don't know. But that's something that we need to be, like, if you've never done something before, networking can feel really scary, especially like you did have a corporate background, but you can make all the excuses under the sun. I'm brand new, I'm off grid, no one's going to, like, I've never done this before. But you haven't made any excuses and you've got on with it. So if anyone wants to join us in our community for Meow, there are some details in the group. Hayley, some people are asking, what examples of networking have you been up to? What have you been doing?
Yeah, so I've done a mixture, really. More recently, I do a lot of online ones, just because it's more flexible for me. And I still think nowadays you get the same benefit from doing online networking as you do doing face-to-face networking. So a couple of the big kind of networking groups I have tried out, but they weren't for me particularly. So I do a lot of online networking. I'm a member of a couple of groups. But Jo, what you've just said is really, really completely true. So when I talked about networking before and getting clients and that being impacting my business growth, some of those referrals or some of those introductions have come from other bookkeepers as well. So it's not just meeting business owners. And that's what's so good about the community that you've built, is it's so collaborative. One of the big clients I've just taken on has come through, came from another bookkeeper. So it's I really do think networking is something you should, and I don't think that you should think as a person yet you automatically know how to network. And there are lots of things out there, and often lots of the networking groups and or other people, they have like programs or coaching sessions where they help you to get the best out of it, or certainly that's what I've come across. And the other thing I'd say is, don't, if you go to one and it's not, you don't feel right, just try another one. Don't let that put you off, because they are very different. So I prefer ones that are a little bit less, some of them are very stringent. You have to go every week. If you don't go, you have to get a replacement to go, and so on and so forth. Some of them are, you pay a monthly fee. There's these 10 meetings. If you want to go, you can. If you don't, you don't have to. So just try a few different ones out. That's what I'd say. Mm-hmm.
Someone's asking in the comments, Hayley, Becky says, is online networking in your area or on a wider scale? So do you, when you're looking for clients, are you looking locally or can you meet people around the country?
So I personally meet people around the country. You can get local networking groups that are online. And there are, I do go to some of those, but I don't let that stop me. I just go to ones where they're UK wide.
You said earlier that you decided, I'm trying to paraphrase, but I can't remember exactly how you described it. You kind of decided you were just going to get on with it in your business towards the end of last year. And you were like, right, I'm doing it. What happened for you? And like, why were you stuck, if you can pinpoint it? And what did it mean to you to push through that?
I think I was stuck because... So a lot, when I moved to this house, It was very different at first, not just because of the off-grid piece, but we took on some holiday lets. We had, when we very first moved into the house, we had a coal fire and we didn't have any other heating. So, and we moved in September, so we were over the winter. So the first 6 months of living here was very difficult. We also had some farm animals as well. So I was trying to sort of keep a business going, put coal on the fire every day. My husband works away a lot. Feed these and it was just a muddle of mess. And people, when you talk about moving house and it being a bit stressful, which I totally get, this to me was on another level. I also had an operation, which was quite a big operation at that time. So sort of the back end of 2021 and 2022, I don't think mentally I could do anything. Mentally and physically, I just don't think I could do anything else. So it was all just ticking along. And I think then what happened was I had a month off work in December 2022. I turned 40 and I took a month off. And then it was after that I sort of came back and I was like, right, you know, I've had a rest. Things are a lot better now in the house. We're more on top of things. We changed the way we do things and, you know, just went on a bit of a journey through all of that. So I think that was what happened. And then I came across the Bookkeepers Bootcamp, which was the catapult, I think, to then making me get on with it, I suppose.
I suppose, like, you felt like you found your tribe or you people that got you and... And it was about timing. Timing is very important, isn't it? I mean, this is the thing, you know, we was talking just now with Ashley Leeds about comparisonitis and things like that. And it's a case of, you know, you don't know what someone else is going through. Like, looking at you, firstly, you don't look 40. Secondly, you don't look like you own a load of farm animals. Like, no one can know what's going on. And I don't think we've ever had on the... on the podcast, and I had to keep putting coal on the fire. This is a fact. So no one knows what's going on in your home, what your life, who you're looking after, what you're looking after, whatever. Just no one knows all of that. So we have to be kind to ourselves, and we can look through the lens and see on social media, and people will be watching you today, Hayley, and thinking, isn't she lucky? Isn't she lucky? And if you hadn't told all of those things, they'd think you were really lucky. And you know, of course, we're grateful for where we're at, but it doesn't mean it's been easy for you every step of the way. And you've made some decisions and you've made some hard choices and you've done it. What I really want to know is, what is it like when do you sleep there on your own?
Yeah.
I'm like, yes. I'm freaking out. Maybe YouTube channel. My 13-year-old is absolutely fascinated with like houses in the middle of nowhere that could feel a bit spooky, and she'd love to run a TikTok or something about what goes on. Do you get scared, or are you absolutely comfortable?
No, I don't get scared. I'm comfortable.
Oh, great.
Mostly because the weather's usually quite bad here, so nobody's going to brave coming up to my house in that weather. It doesn't bother me.
Why have they made the assumption that Hayley lives in a spooky house on a hill?
It's a mile from anywhere. It doesn't matter if it was a brand new build. It doesn't matter. It's a mile from anywhere. See, Zoe, you know this about me. I listen to a lot of true crime. So in my mind, I've got a whole scenario going on. Sorry.
I'm going to be scared now. I've got lots of dogs.
You never know what's gonna come out. But no, and this is the thing, Hayley, like, I'm genuinely nosy and interested about your life. And this is what people don't get, because you're living it. You're like, well, this is just my life. Yeah. Who's going to be interested in, like, what time I have to go and feed? I want to know all about the animals. I want to know what animals you got. I want to know everything. And I love we've had a massive conversation about your driveway, and it's on your garden. That's things like that I'm like fascinated with. It's so interesting. But for you, you're just like, but this is just life. And I think all of us are guilty of assuming that, well, surely everyone just lives like this. And we think that we're all boring. who was it? I think yesterday. Oh, it was Hannah said to her friend when she first joined Six Figure, her friend said to her, one day you're going to be on the podcast. And she said, who would want to listen to me? Who would want to hear about my story? Then yesterday she's on and people are messaging her and saying, oh, I loved hearing your story. And she's like, we're all guilty of that. So if you're watching this now and thinking, Hayley is amazing. She's so brave that she's on the podcast and sleeps on her own in the house. And no one would ever want to listen to me. Know that most of our guests, I'd say 95% of them, all feel the same when they come on and they can't believe that someone wants to hear their story. So sorry, I've gone off on a tangent, but I just think I'm like genuinely, whenever me and Zoe don't prepare for these because we're genuinely nosy and actually really want to know what's going on for you. We don't need to prepare because we're just having a chat like anyone does with their friends. So I just want to let people know that because I think you'll be watching and thinking, I can never do that. We actually did have a message yesterday from someone who said, I feel like they were inspired after seeing Hannah. And they said, I'm going to put myself out there. Can I be on the podcast? I'm like, yes.
Yeah, that's really good.
Yeah.
So I never thought I would be here.
No, I was going to say, what advice did you give if someone was in, because I'm sure you've been in that position yourself.
I think the advice I'd give is, to one, like that whoever's reached out, you know, that there's no harm in asking. First of all, you can only get told no, which there's nothing lost by that. And the second thing is, I think to not be afraid of putting yourself out there. So just like saying yes to things. Like I could, you know, when this all came about, I could have just said no, but it doesn't really matter, does it? And it's good. It's all experience. And even if it all goes wrong, it doesn't really go wrong. So it doesn't really matter.
What could go wrong? It's like what could really go wrong here? I don't know.
Like, I just told everybody live that I stay at home on my own on a hill. Other than that, nothing.
What animals have you got, Hayley? What animals have you got to chase people off of your land?
I have dogs. I've got a cat. When we first moved here, we had we had cows and sheep, but we don't have those anymore. And we have chickens, but the ones that you need to be afraid of are the geese.
Okay. They are petrifying.
They will get you. And they will tell everybody that you're coming as well, because they're so noisy. So as soon as they see a car coming from half a mile away, they're just squawking. So I would know that you were on your way.
There's a true crime story in that day.
I've got a story where the geese saved the day. I love it.
There's two questions here, Hayley. Can I ask you a couple of questions that have come up? Suzanne put a post in it and she said, how did you get your very first clients?
So the very first client I got, so I left my corporate job and I didn't have a plan. I didn't leave to start a business. I just left. I'd had enough. I had about 6 months off where I didn't, you know, it was a lady of leisure. But I didn't like not earning money. I didn't like not earning my own money. I was very lucky to be in that position where, you know, I had savings and things. And what happened was a friend of a friend asked if I would go and help a family member with some bookkeeping because they knew that I wasn't working at the moment and they knew I was an accountant and so on and so forth. So that happened. So I went and helped them and I realised that without all of the corporate environment and politics and pressure and stress, I actually really enjoy accounts, bookkeeping and all of that. So at that point I decided to start my business and the first thing I did was on Facebook, maybe it was manifestation, I don't know, but I saw an advert for a networking event, a new one that was starting locally. So I got in touch with the lady. She asked what I did. I said I was a bookkeeper and she said, I've just lost my bookkeeper. Will you do my bookkeeping? So that was how it came about. So I she was my very first client. She's still a client today. And I joined her networking group as well. But that's how it all came about.
Wow. Everything you've said, though, Hayley, like you've thought something, but you've taken action. That's the biggest thing, like, I've seen about you. I know that recently you did something else that took a lot of courage. You hosted a masterclass. You know, we gave you as part of you're working with us, and we gave you a template of something to work with. But not only did you just go, oh, I'll make it look pretty in Canva, you put it out there. You got people turning up. Can you tell people about what that was? Because I know that was really out of your comfort zone, but you did amazing.
Yeah. So again on this journey, I decided that this year is the year and it's going to be different, and I have given myself a timeline to do that as well. So I wanted to do as much as possible to, I don't know, grow my audience, get my name out there, you know, just start the tide turning. So it was, as you said, because I'm working with you, it was already done for me in a way. But I just took the plunge and I thought, I'm just going to do it. You know, who can have the opportunity to have something done for them and not use it? So I went through, and in fact, just on the same note, slightly tangent, I went through all of the six-figure programs that I've got, because I hadn't used some of them, and I went back through all of them, and they're all either have now been used or will be used very shortly. So there's loads of amazing stuff in there. So anyway, so I took the plunge and I decided on a date. I just put it in the diary. I got Gemma, who I work with from an admin point of view. She did all of the techie kind of creating a landing page and email sequence for people that signed up. And I just put it out there that I was going to do it. So I did. I got 29 people who signed up, which I was amazed at, because I didn't think I'd get anybody really. But I did. I even had a few, there wasn't loads, but there was a handful that turned up live, which again, I didn't particularly expect, but it was really good. So I did it. I've had good feedback from it. I've made a commitment now. So I'm going to do one a month for 6 months. And again, I've decided, if nobody comes and nobody signs up, if nothing else, I'll have 6 months of videos of, you know, really good information and useful information for clients or for anybody who's in business, really, to use in other ways. So, yes.
Oh, my gosh. I'm going to talk to you later, Hayley, about that, because I've already got that sorted in my mind for you. Don't you worry. Paul and I were talking about up-leveling the other day, and we were talking about the sort of the confidence journey it can take. And I don't know if this is like the same for you, and I don't want to like make assumptions about sort of getting out of our own way and also like having permission to decide we're going to be successful. So, you know, I think we sometimes think about how we might be perceived by people if we are successful or we achieve a certain goal. And I don't know if that might be something for you as well, in terms of, I guess you've moved to, maybe this is your forever home that you've moved to, and I wonder whether it's been difficult to decide that you are going to be successful, and to has it impacted friendships, relationships? Have you had to do some work on yourself to give yourself permission to take those next steps in your business?
I think so. Yes and no. So I don't think I was ever worried. So I've got a really good friends, really good family. So I'm really lucky in that sense. And my husband and I have always been, like, we've always done things, I think, a little bit perhaps differently than doing things in a conventional way. And we've only ever come across support. So maybe that's really lucky. Maybe we're just really lucky in that. But I think what was holding me back probably more than anything was the confidence to do it, and the confidence that I could do it. I worked in industry for all those years, and I was really successful. I don't being big headed. I was, you know, I had a good job. I worked my way up quickly. And I was, well, I believe I was very well thought of in that environment. But when you know, I always wanted my own business, and obviously being a a qualified accountant or a qualified bookkeeper, you're like, well, why can't you just do that? But before you've actually done it, I've never worked in practice. And I was like, well, how do I know how to run an accountancy practice or a bookkeeper? And I think that held me back for more years than probably anything else in my life. But I think what happened was, so the accident thing happened where I went and just did this job for a friend of a friend, and I realised I enjoyed it. And then I did get some clients. But then I think I also just got to a point where I was just like, I actually don't care anymore. I feel a bit like I'm just, if I try to do it and it doesn't work, well, I just go and do something else. It doesn't matter. So, and I think, but it's taken me a long time to get to that point.
I think what you're saying there and what Zoe was saying is like, just be careful of what you're listening to. It might be your own internal thoughts.
Yeah.
It might be a family member. It might be a disgruntled friend. It might be supportive friends, but you could have all the support around the world. But if internally you're having this struggle and you're like, well, who do you think you are? And that could be past teachers' voices. It could be anyone. It could be no one, and you're just making it up. Doesn't matter. It's really interesting. It's like sometimes we have to just decide, regardless of anything, that we're going to get out of our own way. Victoria says here, this is my issue. You know, I'm putting up my own barriers. Yeah. So I think it's about just being aware of. Are there about, and exactly what Zoe just said, what's the worst that can happen?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think if nothing else, you know, you learn something. You never really fail. You just learn about how you wouldn't do something again. And I also think there's so much support out there, particularly for our industry, you know, all the stuff that you guys do, but there's others as well. You know, there's just so much support, and everybody's really singing the same tune. You know, everybody's supportive and want people to succeed. And even like, I was worried about the technical side of it. You know, what if I don't know something really technical, because I'm not a tax expert? Well, you know, how many accountants do you actually meet that are tax experts? Tax is a different qualification. And like, you don't think that as an, well, I never thought that anyway. I just was like, well, I should know everything. But like, you can get, you know, and I know sometimes it's an investment or whatever, but you know, you can pay for tax support quite easily, and you've got that security. And it's just like, you know, and I always come back to how much, and I know for some people, like, I don't particularly go on holiday very much because of lots of different reasons, but And again, maybe I don't know if this is good or bad, but I was like, well, I'm going to spend this much money on this. Well, that's only like going on holiday. It's only the same as I'd spend on going on holiday. And I'm not going on holiday this year. Most people try to have a holiday, and there's some cost associated with that. And I was like, well, you wouldn't think twice about spending this money for going for 2 weeks somewhere lovely and just enjoying yourself. So spending that money, investing it in yourself, is it really that bad, even if it doesn't work out? Because that's what I think.
We always think about like the reframe of, is this a cost or is this an investment that's going to create more benefits? So, you know, it might be something about bringing more people into your team, and you know, the sort of the profit and loss thinking around that is, oh, expenses are going to increase, we'll make less profit. But actually, if you think, well, how am I leveraging that person in my team, and what does that allow me to do in terms of my earning potential? If you're bringing in some admin support and you can charge yourself out at more than you're paying your admin, all you're doing is leveraging your time, getting things off your plate that you're probably not loving doing anyway. And then you make the margin on the work that you're able to do for a client instead. So it's like the balance sheet thinking instead. And yeah, it's a different reframe. This isn't a cost, it's investing in the future. And you know, what am I really here for? What is the point of this business I'm working so hard for?
Yeah, and again, I'd say, Zoe, that's something that's been really pivotal in my thinking. Because I invested in admin support in, I think it was November time. And at first I was a bit like, well, I just need this and a bit of this and a bit of that. But once I went through a process and I got that mindset of anything that I don't need to do that somebody else can do, or anything that's not making the most money from my time. Why am I doing it? What is the point? And that's been a huge change over the last, well, since November, so however many months that is, probably five nearly. And also admin, one of the biggest things that's been a game changer in my business, so things like doing the webinar and things like that, has been investing in admin support, because I never would have had the time. I don't know how to set up a webinar landing page and emails. I didn't know how to do that. And yes, I probably could have figured it out, but how long would it have taken me to do that? So, instead, somebody else did it that knows how to do it. And I spent that time earning more money. So it's just the best thing I've ever done is invest in admin support, 150%. I can't recommend it highly enough.
You are like the perfect student, Hayley. You just do everything. It's amazing. And you're really inspiring lots of people in the comments. You know, they're saying you have an amazing mindset. Everything's an investment. You might not use it now, but you will use it. I feel like I can't spend much as I'm not bringing in much, but I should see it as an investment. So yeah, people are seeing that. And the thing is, what you've done is you have up-leveled yourself by investing in people and resources. You're pushing yourself constantly out of your comfort zone. You're not sitting stagnant in a comfort zone. We feel like staying in the same spot is comfortable, but it's not. It gets uncomfortable at a certain point. And what you're truly doing is stepping into the CEO of your business. You have stopped being the worker bee, and you're sitting up and looking and saying, well, how can I support them? What do they need? What does my clients need? Maybe I'm not the best. We get the ego out of the way. I might not be the best person here. There's going to be someone else better than me that can support me doing this. You have switched your mindset beautifully. And I'm all here for it and can't wait to see what else you do in the future.
Yeah, I'm excited.
Well, thank you so much for coming on and sharing your story. Oh, yeah, she is awesome.
Thank you.
We loved hearing about you and excited to hear about what happens next. How can people connect with you, Hayley, and find out more about what you do?
So I'm on LinkedIn as Hayley Baxter, and I'm on Instagram at JPBCoAccounting.
Amazing. Oh, thanks everyone for tuning in. Thanks, Hayley. We'll be back at 8 o'clock tonight for our third session at Bookkeepers Bootcamp. We're going to be live in the Six Figure Bookkeepers Club only. We're giving away an amazing prize. We're also going to tell you something very excited about this success program, which I don't think even our inner circle know, Jo.
No one knows. We've only us.
Massive, exciting announcement coming up tonight that we think you're going to love. So come along, whether you're a new or existing member of the Success Programme, you're going to love this. Everyone needs to be there. We'll see you at 8 o'clock. Have a great day. Take care. Thank you. Bye.
Thanks for joining us for the Bookkeepers Podcast. Why not join us in the Six Figure Bookkeepers Club at sixfigurebookkeeper.club, or visit our website, sixfigurebookkeeper.com.